On Pasuk, let's see what it says over here. Wait, I'm on the wrong page. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. The page turned on me, my mistake. Okay, page 880. Okay, 880. Yes, on Friday we spent time on one of these Amari Chazal, and we're up to Bevigdoiva. Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. 8 lines from the bottom of page 880. Bevigdoiva, this man has betrayed his wife. Me'acha shabogad ba, nohag ba, minag bezoyim. This refers to the Amahu Avriya. That if a man purchases an Amahu Avriya. So the law is the Amahu Avriya is supposed to work for him for 6 years. And then at the end of the 6 years, he has an obligation to marry her, or to give her in marriage to his son. Let's say after 6 years, the man decides, I do not want to marry her, and I do not want to give her in marriage to my son. So the halacha is she goes free. She goes free, she's a free agent. Why does she go free? Why can't he sell her? Why? It's his property, he purchased her. So why can't he sell the amahu avriya? No. Lo yuchal l'mochra bevigdoiva. He's not allowed to go and add insult to injury. He's not allowed to sell, because after he already was noyag with her a minag bezoyin, to purchase a Jewish girl and to work her as a slave, that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace for a Jewish girl, for a Yiddish tochter to serve as a slave. So he's not allowed to.
The Gemara makes the part that the Gemara gets into is that at the age of 12, it's not kedai for him to live in the same house with her. So he has to buy. She only can work till she's
12 years old, max. 6 years, if he buys when she's 6 years old, right, if let's say a little bit older,
he has to throw
by 12 years, no matter what.
It's like,
either marry her, you have a choice. You have three choices. Either marry her, or give her in marriage to your son, or let her go free. But you cannot say, listen, I bought it for a period of time.
The Torah does not treat her as a commodity.
Right.
Right. That's what the pasuk is saying. She's a person.
Right.
So it says the bevigdoi va. So the Gemara really makes a drasha. Mi'achar shebogad ba. After he betrayed her. How did he betray her? What did he do to her? He purchased her. So the Rashi. So there the Gemara says noag ba minag bezoyin v'loy noag ba kimishpat habanois. He was noag with her minag. What's the minag bezoyin? So I'm assuming it means that he did not marry her. He just worked her as a slave. And he did not marry her, did not give her to his son in marriage. He did not treat her like his own daughter, his own child. Yeah.
And that was the expectation.
The expectation was he would marry her.
He would marry the son.
And the money that he gave.
Betrayal.
That's the betrayal. The money that he gave her when he purchased her would retroactively turn into kesef kiddushin, money for kiddushin, and he did not marry her. Afhu ein reshay lekayma, he doesn't deserve her. He's not allowed, he's not allowed to have her. He's not allowed, he doesn't deserve to keep her. He doesn't deserve such a good person. I know of a school and they did something very foolish in the school. And they thought everyone in the school, all the students will fall into line, and they made a certain rule. That was really a little bit way over the top. And some of the parents didn't go for it, so they took the kids out of school, and the school was in shock. What? How can you do that? These are the best students. Okay, we changed our mind. We'll retract. So the parents said, "You're such a bunch of idiots to make such a rule. You don't deserve our children." It was a little bit of a stray. Whatever, I'll tell you later. Probably, you don't deserve our children. If you're so foolish to think that you're going to coerce us into doing this without even consulting with us, just like that, one day you hand down these draconian rules. You don't even talk to the parents. You just do whatever you want. You think out of your mind. Don't you realize who's paying how much we pay tuition? What? Yeah.
They they wanted to make a rule what camps you can go to all of a sudden after 20 years.
Yeah, so something similar to that.
All the best students.
Goodbye.
We went to them and we said,
goodbye.
We're going to be out of here.
Yeah.
They changed their mind.
The school changed their mind. Yeah. Right, so this place, the parents didn't even consult with that. So this is okay, we saw, how could you, we made a mistake. So they said,
how is that the same as this? I don't get it.
What?
How is it the same as what we're learning?
So it says over here, Einoi af hu einoi rashai l'kaima. He's not allowed to keep her. The Chazal say that if you have in your possession a girl, a young Jewish girl, this girl, we're assuming he was talented, she's noble, she is a chosh of a girl. And the right thing for you to do, the expectation was to marry her or to give her in marriage to your son. And if you don't do that, then you don't deserve that she should work for you. The nobility of this woman is deserving that she should be treated with chashivas, with nobility. And if you don't have the dignity, if you don't have the dignity to behave yourself, then you don't deserve to have such a person working for you in your house. So I was giving you a marshal. In this school, they have good students, and the school makes like a crazy look. What you said, like they start all of a sudden just handing down these laws. You can't go to this camp. You can't do this. You can't do that. No consultation with the parents or anyone. Just like that, the principal decides on his own what he wants, and the parents say, "What? What kind of crazy thing is this? This was never done before. We never heard of this before. And you don't even want to go talk to us, have a kind of a conversation with us, and just do this on your own? You're a dictator over here in the school?" So the parents pulled the kids out of the school. So the principal said, "Okay, I changed my mind. So they said, "If you are such a fool to conduct yourself in such a manner and just think you can just do whatever you want and not even speak to the parents, then you don't deserve our children." It's the same thing, you don't deserve. You want to treat this girl in such a demeaning way. You have no plan to marry or to give her in marriage to your son. It says, see, these are the words of Chazal. Af hu v'loi noag bo k'mishmer ha'bonois. You did not treat her like your own daughter. You took her into your home and you treated her like a stranger. Af hu einoi rashai l'kaima. You are not permitted to keep her. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Aftulmas. You're done. You don't deserve her. Ve'ein begide ella shakira shenemar vogdo Yehuda. What does it mean shakira? I don't know. I think it means sheker, betrayal. I think it means, if I'm not mistaken, it means betrayal. That the expectation was that you're going to marry her. I'm not sure what the word shakira means. I think it means betrayal. Let me quickly see. Maybe I can find out what this word means. No, I don't know what this word means.
I'm going to see if I can find it.
Okay, I don't know what this. Okay, shenemar. Bogda Yehud. Okay, let's go in the meantime. Our Michal looks at the translation. Let's go to the mean next man Chazal. Rabbi Meir says, "Kasha Yisrael Zakim Haim Hayubidim Ba'atzmam." When the Jewish people were righteous, we once had this Chazal. They were permitted to testify about themselves. They can say, ordinarily, a person is ein adam. Person is not allowed to testify about himself. But Bizman She Yisrael were good. They were permitted to testify Ba'atzmam. The Shemir says in the pasuk, "Vayom Yoshua L'Ram Edim Atem Bochem."
Okay,
you are your own witnesses. Kilkelu bi'atzmam, kilkelu bi'atzmam. Kama Shemir, sivavuni b'chachash Ephraim v'mirma beis Yisrael. They have Ephraim has surrounded me with lies and deceit. Heid Bochem Shevet Yehud v'Yamin. Then other people testified about them. Shemir v'yata, and you now. Yoshev Yerushalayim v'ish Yehuda shiftu no beini uvein karmi malas es oil karmi. What to do? What? Hashem is saying to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is shevet bin Yamin. Yehuda is Yehuda. And Hashem over here is coming to them and saying to those people, Yehuda bin Yamin, tell me, what should I do by my vineyard? The vineyard here is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has sinned. What should I do about them? You, Yehuda and Binyamin, you come and tell me what to do. Then what happened? It got even worse. Kilkelu Shevet Yehuda ben Yamin, Shenemar, this is our pasuk. Bagdo Yehuda, hey Bohem Hasanavim. Then the prophets are gonna say testimony. Okay, so therefore over here you're just telling you over a general idea over here is that when a person is righteous, there is such a principle that you can testify about yourself. Where do you find this principle? This last week's parasha. And last week's parasha was the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, when you lose something. So if you lose something, can you come and say, oh, it's mine? Oh, someone left a suitcase with $1 million. $1 million cash. So the guy walks in, hey, it's mine, it's mine. excuse me. If you want to go say you left your raincoat here, you left some shmata, say, gesundheit, get it out of the shul. But you want to come say that you left a suitcase of $1 million, come on. So yeah, there's such a principle that a Talmud Chacham is a halachic principle. A Talmud Chacham is neman b'tziyas sayin. You allow a Talmud Chacham to say it's mine.
If he brings Adis, that he's a
No Adis.
That's what the Gemara says.
He has to be recognized
with tziyas sayin. He has to have a reputation as an honest person. He has to bring witnesses.
Say, what about, where are the simon in? Tell me what color is the suitcase. I don't remember. But when I see it, I know it's mine. Really? Really, really, really? Yeah, guess what? That's the halacha. Shocking, right? That's the halacha. If he is accepted in the community, okay, if he's not known, then you have to be witness that he's a great person. If he is accepted to be the rabbi of the shul, accepted to be a very respected person, a Talmud Chacham, and he says, it's mine, I recognize it. You give it to him. Isn't that shocking? Doesn't that go against everything in the halacha? Well, that really comes from this chazal. That bisman, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says that when kishohayu yishol zakoyim, heim hayu miidim ba'atzmam shnemar vayom yeshu elam edim atem bochem. You are your own witnesses. You are your own witnesses to state the facts. Even though in a court of law that would never be acceptable, but when it comes to certain matters, okay, you have to. Obviously, every situation is different. Right. But there is such a principle. And we find it at least in one area in halacha where Talmud Chacham is believed to say, this lost object is mine just by his word. I recognize it. I cannot provide you with a mark, a defining simin, but if I see, like we all know there are many things in our lives. You know, look, you go to the airport and luggage comes down. How do you know it's yours? How do you know it's your luggage? If someone would tell you to fill out a form and this luggage is lost, it happened to me once. It's very frustrating. Ever happened to you, lose your luggage? Come out of the airport, Eric just come out of the airport. Where's the luggage? Where is it? Wait. Zero. Wait there. Waste 2 hours waiting there. So then you go fill out a form. And what do you do? How do you describe it? How are you going to describe it? Oh, it's a square. Has wheels. Has handle. Right? And what else? There's a little crack on the side. I mean, come on. You know, you even remember the name of the brand? I don't even. I bought this 10 years ago. I think I remember.
Twice I walked out of this airport with somebody else's suitcase. It happened to me twice.
I remember the last time that I did, I vaguely remember someone left something that was very similar to mine. Maybe that was it. So the airport said they were very, very nice. I was very, very surprised.
How honest really the whole situation is.
Yeah.
What?
Most of us take our own bag.
It's amazing, isn't it amazing?
And no one's watching.
You can just walk over anything you want.
Right.
You see a gewehr. Someone sitting in first class.
Yeah. Well, we were just married.
Could you imagine someone in first class, you know, you watch them when they come to the airport, you see what kind of luggage they have? People in first class, they have expensive stuff in there. You see who goes first class.
They put it in the carry-on.
And you know, so it's an amazing honor system. There's no question about it. The whole world is like this. The whole world.
Yeah.
It's pilot
one. There was a time that had security checking when you walked out.
I walked out with a suitcase when they checked. And they still left out with somebody.
Now it's a freebie. And it's in a crazy world that we live in. There's so much murder and rampant crime.
It's amazing.
You can trust that you're going to get
I guess people are paying a lot of money when you can do, you know, you travel, international travel. Of course, there are certain types of people that fly. People who fly, you assume they're more assumed, yeah. You know, who knows? Yeah, but you're right. But I was shocked. The airport, and they were very nice. I was really shocked. And they, don't worry, we'll track it down for you and we'll deliver it. Where are you going, where you're staying? And they got my address and they delivered it.
Yeah.
Right.
It happened to me recently.
I was like, wow, I couldn't believe this.
Yeah, I did that once. My wife asked the guy, he says, have a lot of luggage being lost? He says, that's his full-time job, delivering lost luggage.
Wow.
Yeah. And a full-time department. They have a mamash, a whole department.
But that's lost, that's not...
They have a department, that's exactly what they sit and do the whole day. They track down.
Now they track it very carefully. When I didn't get a piece of luggage as you described, they were able to track it down. They told me it was still on Tel Aviv. They didn't back it on the plane by accident. So they'll deliver it to me tomorrow.
Okay, at least they're able to
track it.
They can track it, okay.
But you have to keep those receipts.
Yeah, you bet. You have to, yeah. But in my case wasn't so. I think someone actually took mine. Someone else walked out with it was something very similar. And they were able to figure out who did it. And they called them up. And like, you bring all these memories. So she said to me, no, I'm not allowed to call on my, on the El Al phone because they're not allowed. But you know, don't worry. She had her own private smartphone, and she called the number on her own private smartphone. Like so I'm breaking protocol, but don't worry. I don't know. But eventually I got it. Eventually the mom they delivered it. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe such a thing would happen. I thought it was for sure gone forever.
Mine was very funny because I walked past a friend of mine and I saw him waiting for his suitcase. And I said, what's the matter? He was on the same flight going home from Florida with me. He was an ex-base medrash guy with me. And we got home. We went to bed. It was very late at night. We got home. I didn't unpack the suitcase. 2:30 in the morning, my phone rings and says, the person on the other end said, how does it feel to have the wrong luggage? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I went to the suitcase and I couldn't open it. It was locked. I said, this is not ours. And the guy, I said, I can't bring it back now. It's 2:30 in the morning. In the morning, I'll return it. He said, it's all right. The guy lives in Brooklyn and he's passed by your house and the roommate guy came downstairs. It was my friend.
Wow.
I walked past him with his suitcase and it was pink suitcase that Rifki had with her maiden name. If it had my name on it, he would have noticed. He almost crashed the car into the fire because his headlights, he saw who was standing there. I didn't see him.
Unbelievable. But this idea that you can get back your own lost object with Tzvias Ayin, even though it goes against everything in Shulchan Aruch, is rooted in this very pasuk. Because this pasuk says there are times when a person is permitted to testify about himself. And if Chas V'Sholem, a person is corrupt, then you have to have someone else testify. If the whole Klal Yisrael is corrupt, then it says that the prophets, the other ones that will testify. Okay, let's not go to the next section. The next section is Mishkav Zachor Kosha Shekishoy HaKosiv Lavodazara. Okay, Mishkav Zachor is the worst. It is the most severe because the pasuk compares it to idolatry. Shenemar Bogdi Yehuda Vosheva Nestav Yisrael Zeh Mishkav Zachor. Because it says Bogdi Yehuda that's Mishkav Zachor. Shenemar Yeh Zachor Lo Sishkav Mishkav Isha Toevohi. So here we have over here this is Avodah Zarah. So we say, according to Chazal, the Mishnas Rabbi Elias, this Medrash, Bog the Yehuda of the Nest of Yisrael refers to Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's Avodah Zarah. Zem Mishkav Zocha, Shnema V'Yezocha, Yisushkav Mishkav Isha Toa Evehi, Harei Hukshal Avodah Zocha. So he's bringing over here a connection between these two things, Avodah Zarah, Mishkav Zocha. Okay, that concludes this section. We have one more Chazal on the next page, just one more short Maimel Chazal on page 882. Yachrei Sashem L'Isha Shaya Asen Azor V'Oineh, Ner Shehu Munach Achori Hadeles Kosech V'Nil B'Shavos. You have a candle, Chanukah candles, and the Chanukah candles are right near the door, your Shabbos candles. How are you allowed to open and close the door? When you open and close the door, you're causing the wind to blow. And when the wind blows, it can cause the Ner to go out, or it can cause the Ners to flicker. And causing the Ners to flicker on Shabbos, the Melacha D'oraisa of Eish, that's also Havara. If you adjust on Shabbos, if you cause the Ner to flicker, mamish to flicker, that it through wind, that is a melacha d'oraisa of havara of fire. So how is a person allowed to open and close the door on Shabbos if the candles are in the vicinity of of the door where there's a draft. There's a draft coming in from the door.
Even walking by can cause a draft.
Exactly. Even walking by can cause the candles to flicker. So what is the halacha? So here it is, ner shumunach acharei hadas, a ner that is positioned behind the door. The halacha is pesach v'lel b'shabbos, you are permitted to open the door and close the door on Shabbos, levad shlo yichshavin l'l Shabbos, as long as there's no kavana. A davar she'enoy mischavin is permitted. That's the halacha, as long as it's not a psikresha, as long as it's not a guarantee. Just because you open the door and close does not mean that the neros are going to flicker. Go out because not always is there a wind. Wind, you know, comes and goes. So as long as it's not a guarantee that it will happen, and when you're opening and closing the door, your intent is not to cause it to flicker. So it's a davar she'enay mitzchavein, and it's not a psik reisha, it is permitted. Now, it's not so posh what I just said, because that's dealing with a deraisa. This, that we just said, is a davar posh when it comes to a deraban, like the refrigerator. When you open the refrigerator door, today refrigerator is a little bit different today, the whole story of refrigerators, but let's say you open the refrigerator door, so by opening the refrigerator door, you're causing cold air to exit, warm air to enter, the thermometer is going to change, and your action may possibly be the trigger. Because you know, it doesn't happen immediately. When you open up the refrigerator door and the motor is off, right? You have a refrigerator. The olden days, today everything is different. Today the technology of even the cheapest refrigerator is already different. I don't know, things change so quickly, so I'm not up to date on the latest technology. But years ago, it was pretty simple. There was a compressor, there was a thermometer and a compressor, all there was. And the way, you know, the way refrigerators work is you have a freezer. The way it really works for the refrigerator, the old-fashioned refrigerators, you're only really operating a freezer. And the cold air from the freezer, it is controlled how much of it flows into the refrigerator section, that it should be below freezing. The whole engine, the whole motor, the whole apparatus of a standard refrigerator is only for the freezer. And it produces a section, it produces an area that is below freezing. Now, what's the temperature in the freezer? I don't know. I don't know what the temperature in the freezer is. A good refrigerator is about 35, 36. If the temperature in the refrigerator is 40, it's already broken. It's about 35, 36. That's a good refrigerator. And how does that work? Well, you have a freezer, and then there's a vent, which allows the cold air from the freezer to flow into the refrigerator. And you have to be very accurate in how much you let from the freezer go into the refrigerator. It's not like I used to be, oh, you have a refrigerator and you have the freezer, and the refrigerator is broken, but the freezer is working. No, it's not so complicated. So when you open up the refrigerator door, sometimes the temperature is on the border. It's on the border. It could happen, it can be triggered at any single moment. It can very well be the moment you open up that door, that opening of the door is the makeh b'patish. It's the last straw that breaks the camel's back, that changes the temperature, that one mashahu, which triggers the compressor to go on. So how could you ever open the refrigerator door if the compressor is not operating? And at this moment in time, the compressor is off, and you open up the door, there's a possibility you opening up the door will be the trigger that will cause the compressor to go on.
But you're not even sure if a compressor is illegal on Shabbos.
What?
The thing about an electric motor.
Let's take a step back. Let's say you would actually go and you would turn on the refrigerator. You turn on the switch. You would plug it in. What have you done? What malacha have you done on Shabbos? Zero. Putting
maybe
a refrigerator.
Maybe a spark.
Is a spark a malacha? Spark is not a dover. It's not a dover sheish b'mamash. I'm not so sure spark is a malacha deraisa. A spark. Electricity is, we paskin this only in iser derabanan. It is not iser deraisa, electricity. Thus, when you go and you put the return on the refrigerator, you're doing at most a malacha derabanan. So now, when you have a dilemma, if I open up the door, I might be, in my action might be the trigger. This is a dover. But I have no kavan, I couldn't care less. I just want to get a cup of water. I want to get some orange juice in the refrigerator. I don't care about the electricity, this, that. So it's a davar she'enoy mischavin, and it's not a guarantee. It's a suffix. It's not a psik resha. Psik resha means you chop off the head of the animal. It's not going to die.
It's also an indirect law. It's not indirect.
No. So the problem is it might be there. So that's what I'm trying to point out. If it's always going to be indirect, and you're right. Today, I think today it's indirect today.
Because they don't automatically go.
Right, like you turn on the air conditioner. If I press the buttons to change the temperature, it takes about a minute until it kicks in. Right, no matter what. No matter how hot, no matter how cold, it doesn't happen right away. So you're right. Today, even the simplest refrigerator is a new technology. And going back old fashioned, 100 years ago, before we were born.
Well, then you had an icebox.
The time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they had the regular old-fashioned refrigerators. So it's only midrabanan. The most you can possibly be doing when you open up the refrigerator door, if your action of opening the refrigerator door triggers the refrigerator to the compressor to go on, what have you done? You have done a melacha derabanan. So here you have...
Isn't the spark created Aish?
That's what he said. Is the spark Aish? I don't know the answer. I don't think so, because that's not a spark. An Aish would have to be a coil that becomes red hot, that is meant to produce, to burn. A spark is, I don't know if a spark is a deraisa. Fire is something which is sustained. Fire has to have fuel, has to have a wick. I don't know the answer. I don't believe a spark is a melacha deraisa. A spark is melacha deraisa. It says somewhere, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't believe so. Thus, when you open up the refrigerator door, even if your action actually opens up, turns on the compressor, by chance, you don't know that's going to happen, and that's not your kavana. So it's a davar, she'ena mischavein, it's not a psik resha, and at most, it's an iser derabanan. So therefore, it's permitted. Are you allowed to do the same thing with an oven? You have an oven, the oven is on, and at this moment in time, the flame is off, and when you now open up the oven, it may very well be you opening up the oven is going to be the mak is going to be it's on the border of when the fire will turn on. Oh, it's going to be the trigger by me opening up the oven door. We're holding where it's the trigger. Now the fire goes on.
It's like opening a door to a house with a thermostat.
No, so that's indirect. That's why it's permitted, because in the house, it's like the computer over here. It's not going to go on. It's not going to be the trigger. It's not going to be the trigger. When you open up the front door of your house, it's already, it's the oven is very direct. You're right, you're asking a very good question. What's the difference between opening up your front door and opening up the oven? I don't know the answer, but it appears the answer, because an oven is confined. It's confined to a very small box. The small box, when you open up the door, that might be the trigger. That's the trigger, so your action is causing fire. Oh, but I have no kavana. You're right, you have no kavana, and it's not a guarantee, but we are machmir, that when you're dealing with an iser de'oraisa, an iser de'oraisa is much more severe. So here, now is this that we're machmir, is this nikra din? I don't know, we have to go back, maybe we have to learn the laws of Shabbos again. But over here he's telling you, halacha, yachris Hashem, ner shumunach achoy adels, p'sech v'nil b'shabbos, v'vad shal yischavim l'dechabbos l'lahavir. Over here we're dealing with the melacha de'oraisa, and here it says you can open and close the door, and there's a nair behind you. So why don't we say, how can you do so? Is it dealing with the melacha deraisa? I don't know. Here we're dealing even with the melacha deraisa, and here it's telling you that it is permitted. Let's leave it further. Rav Shmuel posrin lei b'shecheach umekalalin mando avid kain. So Rav Shmuel says, yeah, technically it's permitted. It's a davar she'enay mischavein, but it's a melacha deraisa. So therefore, don't do this. Even though technically it is permitted, in unusual circumstances where you're going to be stuck outside your house in the freezing cold, but don't ever do it, only when you forgot to make arrangements to make sure this would not happen. And he cursed anyone that would deliberately do this. They would put the candle right by the door, knowingly that when they would come home from shul, open the door, it would blow the candle and would cause it to flicker. Anyway, he cursed them. And what did he
say?
Okay. And what did he do? Yachrei Hashem lo ish asher yasena er ve'oine. Hashem, may Hashem cut down anyone that does this. Erevin, and this is what this is the pasuk. It's very why me'ohole Yaakov u'magish minchole Hashem tzvaka. This is very fascinating. Why would Rav, anyone that does this deliberately, again, the reason why this is not a good idea is because it's a melacha deraisa. It's like the oven case. It's a melacha deraisa, and you're putting yourself, even though technically you'll say, well, it's a davar she'enoi mischavin, and it's not a psik ratio, it doesn't matter. You don't do a davar she'enoi mischavin, even if it's not a psik ratio, when you're dealing with a melacha deraisa, and he issued this curse Hashem should cut down from him, a person that does this, in erev oineh, and as we learned last week, 2 days, talmidei chachamim. A talmid chacham doesn't do this. You want to behave in such a sloppy manner where you show a disrespect for the Shabbos, a sensitivity to the sacredness of Shabbos. So this is a very big problem. You know, today a lot of these things have dramatically changed. I'll give you a very simple example. Today there are electric cars. Unless you don't get the knockoffs. I got a knockoff. Somebody, I almost got it for free. Not free, and I had to give it back, because I couldn't go anywhere with it. They were mom was giving away knockoffs, these electric cars. Problem is, the very, very cheap ones they were giving away, you can't travel many miles with.
Right.
You can't, it's a very short distance. And if you want, you can't go back and forth to Lakewood. You can barely make it to Lakewood. Electric car.
Yeah.
You have a Tesla. Oh, Tesla. Okay.
Tesla goes 300 miles.
Okay.
You know,
not even.
No, they said that the better ones are 200, but Tesla goes 300.
Right. Tesla goes 300. And look, a regular gasoline car, you can go 600 miles. You can go 600 miles on a gasoline car.
Right.
Some of them.
Well, it depends
on the tank. It's on the tank. But so Tesla, 300 miles is very, very good. And you can recharge it very quickly. The knockoffs, you can go 100 miles at most.
Tesla's 15 to 20 minutes, and that's they tell you not to do more than 80%.
And a regular take the knockoff car is 100 miles you can go, and you'll have to wait 6 to 8 hours, maybe 20 to 24 hours to recharge it. Wow. Depending what kind. So that's why they were giving away for free. I didn't know that. but it's amazing. As far as I understand, an electric car, there is no Issur D'oraisa. If you drive on Shabbos an electric car, is there any chil Shabbos d'oraisa? L'chor not. There's no melacha d'oraisa. It's electric car, gasoline car, mam combustion engine, melacha d'oraisa. When you turn on the engine, no, they don't turn it on. Now you press the buttons now. No more, all the new cars have no more keys anymore. You press the button, that's start the engine, it's melacha d'oraisa. Melacha d'oraisa. You press the pedal, melacha d'oraisa. Okay, nothing to talk about. Melacha d'oraisa on a gasoline car. So let's say an electric car. It's not. It's a battery. There's no moving parts in electric cars. It's amazing. No moving parts. It drives like glass. You know what it's like driving an electric car? Even the cheap models. I had it for short. At least.
Wheels turn. What do you mean there's no moving parts?
The wheels, but no engine. The engine. There's no engine. It's amazing. I had an electric car for a very short period of time until I gave it back.
Turns the axle.
What?
Electric motor turns the axle.
There is no motor. I don't know how it works. All I can tell you is there is no humming. There is no shaking. A gasoline car, it's always bubbling. Even the best of the best, it's always bubbling. And you always hear it making noises. And there's moving parts, you have an oil change, and you have to have this change. Electric car, there's no oil change in electric car. Okay? And it's quiet. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know how much pollution it causes from where they get the electric from, the coal we have to make. But it's really amazing, and there's no melacha d'oraisa. So let's say a woman is having a baby on Shabbos. So if you have you know what you do with a baby on Shabbos? This is what you're supposed to do.
Electric car.
So you do is you call, you take out your smartphone. It's an amazing thing how easy it is to have a baby on Shabbos today. You take out your smartphone. Smartphone is only melacha d'rabbanan at most. And you have Waze. And you have Uber. On Uber, you have a choice. You can order, if you want to preserve the environment, you can order only a green car.
Or a pedicab.
Okay, you can order an electric car on Uber. They have a choice of what kind of car. You can get the different options. There's an option to only order an electric car. A driver has an electric car because you are concerned about the environment. Now, I have to, so if it is true, if they show you that an electric car will come to your house at the same amount of time as a regular car, so what are you doing? You're doing the least possible Chil Shabbos. You're using a smartphone, okay, which is Issa Durabonon. Inissa midrabanan, electricity, whatever it is, I can't figure out what it is, but it's certainly not permitted. And Amir Liakum, but you're telling a guy to do a malacha derabanan.
You don't know if it's a guy coming.
Oh, you're saying good. You don't know it's a guy coming. You go basarayf. Api halacha it's mut. Api halacha you go basarayf. It's mustam it's a guy. Most I don't even know
language,
one.
You can't get an Uber.
You can, you know.
They don't run because there's no service.
Okay. Now over here, the price though shot up like crazy. The price is mamish doubled. The price of Uber doubled since I started using them. It's outrageous. So, but you get an electric car and you have a guy. So it's a mira la'akum. You're telling a guy to do for you a molocha derabanan. And you don't have to pay him. I mean, you have to pay him, but it's all automatic. It's all everything is done without you doing anything. It's all automated. And it's unbelievable. That way you've minimized the Chil Shabbos to the greatest degree. It's a zuchus for the child. The child will come into this world. Chazal said that when a child is born on Shabbos, it's not a good thing. Because when a child is born on Shabbos, there is Chil Shabbos in his birth. And there is Chil Shabbos in his bris. So it's not a zchus. It's not a good thing to be born on Shabbos. It's not Chil Shabbos. It's not the optimal time to be born on Shabbos. You say this in the Haftorah on the Tainus Esther. The Al Yomer Hasoris. It says there, they guard my Shabbos. What does that mean exactly? In the Haftorah of the Tainus Sibah, what it basically says is, the famous Chazal is, that in Tam Chazal, people's bodies were predictable. It's not like today, a woman, when does a woman give birth? Some women give birth at 8 months, 9 months, this, the baby is late, the baby is never on time. The baby is either early or late, right? Well, in those days, the baby was always on time. They were all yekes those days. In those days, the baby, bidiyuk, 272 days from the moment of conception. The moment of conception, that's when the baby was born. 272 days with clockwork. So a man would calculate that if his wife conceives today, that means the baby will be born on Shabbos. Chil Shabbos. The bris will be on Shabbos. So could you imagine? A married couple will be poiresh because they made the calculation when the baby might be born, exactly. And if it would come out on Shabbos, they would not want there to be Chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos is so dominant in their mind that they would be poiresh because they made a calculation when the baby would be born. And that's how severe Chil Shabbos was in the eyes of people. So today, it's interesting, so you know, it's a big deal. So you talk about Chil Shabbos, it's always a very big problem of when a woman gives birth on Shabbos, what is the procedure? I remember my father, when he was first became, where people still having children, it was a younger shul then, and people don't make all the halachas exactly, you know, and the old ladies, they say, okay, you leave the money, you have to try to make arrange for the car service, and you have the money ready for them, and you tell them to open the door, and this, and the lights. Okay, obviously, when things happen unexpectedly, you just get in the car yourself, right? That's the Dvar Pshutim HaToi. But when you can plan things out, then there's a way. But today, it's really an amazing thing where you have today electric cars, which definitely change the equation of traveling on Shabbos. Think about it.
Do you think that's what the Avishner really wants?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't want, but I'm just saying is that years ago, when a woman went to the hospital on Shabbos, it was Chil Shabbos
d'oraisa. Yeah, I mean,
today it does not have to be anymore Chil Shabbos d'oraisa. Even if the husband himself drives the car. If the husband himself takes his wife to the hospital in an electric car, was he mechal Shabbos deraisa? No. No, he's not. There's no combustion, there's no electricity, there is no ash in an electric car. From what I understand, there's no burning of fuel. It's a battery. There's no ash. So if a husband takes his wife to a hospital on Shabbos in an electric car, there's no chal Shabbos. So you say, well, so it's a big deal, you know, big deal. Or we're very unsensitive, we're not sensitive to chal Shabbos. I was pointing out as in Tarmah Chazal, they were very sensitive to this. Because Chazal go through the effort and say, they say explicitly, it's not a good thing to be born on Shabbos. They say Beferish. It's not a good thing to be born on Shabbos. You're born on Shabbos, there is massive chil Shabbos that goes into later. And then the bris is going to be on Shabbos, which includes more chil Shabbos. And the Gemara says, the Gemara has a whole thing about dying. What's going to be 120 years when he dies? Will he die on Shabbos? The whole discussion about this. And the Gemara says they're not happy with this. And then there's the Chazal that says that Hashem praises these individuals who make calculations of when they planned that their wife should conceive. So it should not come out when baby's born on Shabbos. Wow. Okay, these are all these Amari Chazal. Today you say this to a person, they look at you like you're from Mars. Who cares?
You say to your wife, you have to wait for the computer to tell me when, you know, they get...
Yeah, I mean, you make me joke out of this. And in the Hanami, the whole, you tell this to anyone and they'll say, you out of your mind, you're saying crazy, crazy things. A woman needs to give, you have a baby, that's right, Shabbos, Chutra, don't ask questions, right, you go. The Zehu, who cares?
How come the bris supersedes Shabbos then?
What?
If the Shabbos is so important, why does the bris supersede?
Gezeres HaKosef. That's how it is. The Gezeres HaKosef. V'yoyim HaShmini Afilu B'Shabbos. Gezeres HaKosef. That's how it is. But we today, we're not sensitive to these things. Okay, I'm certainly the last person.
My father was very happy when I made a Shabbos bris because he said he was born on Shabbos, his father was born on Shabbos, I was born on Shabbos, my son was born on Shabbos. He had a son.
Ooh, wow.
We had five straight generations.
Wow.
So
we have a lot. Hashem wanted it. Hutra. Okay, I'm not. Listen, that's how it is. But I'm not making this up. Chazal speak about this concept. Chazal talk about, you know, Shabbos is Shabbos. And just to make light, it's not something to make light of. That technology has done for us something which was unexpected. Unexpected. And I have no doubt that there are people, that this has become very, very relevant when it comes to people, Rachman Utslan, who need to, let's say, I mean, this is what happened with going to shul on Shabbos. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's a big, you know, they don't see it here enough. It's scooters, electric scooters. Do you see anyone in this neighborhood coming to shul on Shabbos with an electric scooter? I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah. You've seen it?
In Israel, we use it.
Israel. Tzomot. Tzomot.
We have it from...
Tzomot. Tzomot.
No, we have it. We bought it here. And the
Hashkafa
is from Rabbi Heinemann.
Rabbi Heinemann, okay. They have a whole institute.
Yes.
Somot Institute that does these things to make it, to have it operate and grommets the old technical things. Right, exactly. Okay. So, electrical wheelchairs. So how come you never heard about cars? People going to shul and shops in cars?
No, but our sign says specifically, only for a handicapped.
100%. Only, of course, only for handicapped. This is the whole thing. Our bell server for you was nifty. He had a whole discussion about this. Of course, we're talking about extreme, unusual circumstances. But you've never heard, even in the most extreme, unusual circumstances, any Rav ever being matir someone to go in a car on Shabbos. You never heard this. You ever hear Rav say, oh, you can go in shul on Shabbos, just call a Goyshe car service. A Goyshe car service will take you to shul on Shabbos. You never heard this. Never. You hear about this amol, maybe in, like, you know, in certain situations of people going to the hospital, going back from the hospital, in emergency situations, you know, there are certain heterim for this. But the stamazoi, to go to shul on Shabbos, when a person can stay in the house on Shabbos, to go in the car on Shabbos, never, ever, ever did you hear such a thing. But I'm wondering what's going to be now, in 10 years from now, when there'll be driverless cars, okay? There'll be driverless cars, And you don't even have a Amir L'Akum.
You still have to start the car.
It'll be an app. You'll preset the app before Shabbos. It'll be computerized. All will be computerized. The driverless car will come pick you up at just, you shouldn't come on time. That would not be proper. You have to come a little bit late, you know, to make the arrangements. You should come at 9:15. You know, 9:15. Chas v'shalom should you come early. But can you, I mean, come on, it's not unrealistic that you have your own car parked, you have your own car parked in the driveway, and you go and you program before Shabbos, that it's going to take you, the door is going to open up, and you get in the car at 8:45, and the door will close by itself, and the car will drive you to shul, open the door, you'll get out. You'll be no amira la'akum, and the car is 100% electric, so it's all midrabanan. So you've taken away amira la'akum, you've taken away any isra daraisa. So I have no doubt there'll be a rav that will come along. I would never say this. The person is depressed. He needs some social interaction. It's good for his mental health. There'll be a big machlokes. There'll be rabban that will say, oh, but it's the farhesia, you know, this. Yes, so there'll be that. Oyser, oser, 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 mutter, mutter, mutter. This is the future.
Shabbos elevator.
Exactly. Shabbos elevator. Exactly the same thing. Okay? I'll tell you a very funny story. I once had to go on a very hot Shabbos to the hospital to visit someone. And it was very hot, it was in the summer. So I was talking to one person, so, oh, you're gonna go? Where's the person? He's all the way up on top floor. All the way, I don't know what he was all the way talking about. So I told him, I just mentioned Klach Hayad. I'm not walking up the steps, and I go there, I'll take the Shabbos elevator. So he said, what? What? Shabbos elevator? You can't. You're going to walk all the way here to my mommy's and you can't walk up the last couple of flights of steps? You go walk for an hour. It takes like 45, whatever it costs, 45, and you can't walk up. Whoa. So he made me feel so bad. I said, okay. I'll walk up the steps. That's how you feel about it. then I go, and then there's another guy. And I was taking off my jacket. It was a hot Shabbos, my jacket and my hat. I'm going to leave it here. I'm not going to walk with my hand jacket all the way to Borough Park in sweltering heat. Yes. Shabbos? You're not going to wear a hat? Chazilvun Shabbos? It's so hot. You can't. So I said, okay, you made me feel bad. Now these two guys, well, they didn't go nowhere. So I go like a tippish with my hand jacket all the way to the hospital. I go up 10 flights of steps. I come out after that. I finally get there. A guy, Hasidish guy, looks at me and says, where are you coming from? Flappish. Says, wow, you walk with your hat and jacket and walked up the steps also.
Well, what's the Shabbos elevators for?
Shabbos elevator is a sugi in and of itself. There are many different types of Shabbos elevators, so different types, different technologies. And basically, there's always a heter. There's always a heter. So if you have to, you have to. If you don't have to, it's a fascinating thing that today everything is electric, and electric takes away an iser deoraisa. An iser deoraisa is not a small thing. Chazal discussed. It's not a claim thing. Okay, now we go to nusugi. V'zois shenis ta'asu. We have the pasuk. Given that v'zos shenis tasu kasoyes dima is mizbach Hashem. Hashem says, I want you to do the following thing. Shenis. So what was the first thing? The first thing was to separate from non-Jewish women. Divorce your wives. Distance yourself from non-Jewish women. The second thing that we're going to do over here is to do teshuva. V'zos shenis tasu kasoyes dima es mizbach Hashem. Cover with tears the Mizbach Hashem, b'chi va'anoka, with tears and anguish. There are three things mentioned here. We have to define the difference between dimois, tears, b'chi, anoka, me'ein oid pinois el hamincha, where there's no ad kidei kach. There's so much tears and there are so many tears on the Mizbeach, there's no room on the Mizbeach for anything else, for Korbanos. V'lokachas rotzoin miyetchem, and take will from your hands. And we'll see what that means in a few moments. Let's just go through some soon, then we'll come back and go through everything one at a time. V'amartem, Alma, why? Al ki Hashem heid ben chol ben eshes nurecha, because you have, Hashem has testified between you and the wife of your youth. Asher ato bogadet abo, you have betrayed her. V'hi chaver techa v'eshes b'lisecha. She is your friend, and she is the wife of your covenant, which I like to interpret in that she's your chavrusa. They used to say, I don't know, I never really listened to these things, but they tell you, the Bachrim, you know, the yeshiva guys, they don't know anything what's going on altogether. They think their wife is the chavrusa. They have to go marry a lamdan, and a lot of the wife is not your chavrusa. But the pasuk here says she is. It says she is chaver techa, she is your friend, and she is the eshes birisecha, the covenant. What's the covenant? Torah. Okay, it would at least mean that she is committed. She is committed to observe the Tayag Mitzvahs. V'loy asa, v'loy echad asa, you have not done one of these. U'sh'or ruach loy, the remnant of spirit is to him. U'mo ho'echad mivakesh zera elokim, v'nishmartem b'ruchachem u'v'eishes n'urecha al yivgoit. Okay, we have to go through this. Even though there's another pasuk, but let's just do these two psukim. Let's just do these two psukim together. Let's go back now. Look at the three pesukim. Let's see them in the Mitzudah Yisdav Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel says v'zoy sheinis tasu ritzon lema. What does it mean? What's the sheinis? Milvad habizayon shasi sem lamizbech lekarvay shulchan migoel v'nivse shehisiva lemais bekarbon asechem. So in pasuk Gimel, the Mitzudah is going back to what we learned in the previous parak. The previous parak we discussed at such great length that the Kohanim are corrupt, and they offer on the Mizbeach disgusting korbanos that are blemished, full of blemishes. In addition to defiling the Mizbeach and having towards the Mizbeach a contemptuous attitude, and saying about the Mizbeach that it's a disgusting makom, in addition, so he's learning, I'm not going to do teshuva. You are causing the Mizbeach to cry. Chazal say this, we all heard this, that anyone that divorces his Eshes Ne'urim, the Mizbeach is Moired Olav Dimois. A very famous Chazal. Anyone that divorces his wife, the Mizbeach cries. And Mizbeach is stone. Mizbach Avonim Taseli, even an object of stone cries when you hear about a divorce. Where does the tears come from? It comes from crying v'anoka. It's a very important expression what he says here. He says here, b'chi, if you look very carefully what the Mitzudas David is doing, he's telling us that b'chi does not mean tears. There's only one word for tears, and that's demois. B'chi is the emotion. The emotion of crying. Now, crying doesn't necessarily mean tears flow. A person can cry a dry crying. Ever hear such an expression? A dry crying, where he cries, but there are no tears coming out. The b'chi is an emotional state of being, and that usually leads to demois. So demois is a noun, tears. Bechi is a verb. It's a state of being, of crying. And there's another partner to bechi, anoka. So now the question is, if both bechi and anoka are states of emotion, what's the difference? You know the difference is? One is a teruah and one is a shvarim. Okay, when we blow shofar on shofar and Rosh Hashanah, Yoim teruah yelochem. What do we do? What is a teruah? So the Gemara, they didn't know what a teruah is. Is a teruah a short sound, two, 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 or is a teruah nine short sounds, two, 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 two? Or is it both together? So look, what do you have over here? Over here you have bechi and anoka. And don't confuse bechi anoka with an object of tears, because the tears is the product of the state of being, and the state of being here is described in two different terms. Why do you need two different terms? The answer is, well, let's just look at halacha, and we see in the halacha that there's a teruah and a shvarim. And now you can open up all of the sefarim and Rosh Hashanah, go to the bookcase, dust them off, all the sefarim and Rosh Hashanah, and who describe what exactly is the chilik between the sound of a teruah and the shvarim. So some will tell you many different ideas. Some will tell you that when you cry, when people cry, what do they cry about? We all know in life, we cry about the past and we cry about the future. We cry about our mistakes. The past person who has regret, he made horrible mistakes, and that gives him great anguish. What could have been, what he should not have done, and then there is a cry of what's going to be tomorrow. I'm in a desperate state. How am I going to face the situation I come to tomorrow? So some will tell you that the Shvarim is an Agmas Nefesh of the past, and a Teruah is Agmas Nefesh of the future. Okay, some will say that one is an Agmas Nefesh to what you've done, Ben Adam Lachaveroi, and the other is an Agmas Nefesh of your relationship, Ben Adam LaMokoyim. Some will say that one is your failure in spirituality, and the other is a failure in your the way that you've conducted yourself with gashmias. You cry about when I daven Shmona Esra, I never have kavana. I daven Shmona Esra, you're standing, you and Hashem. There's no food. I never saw anyone have food in the middle of daven Shmona Esra. I've not yet. It's coming soon. I've not yet seen that someone in the middle of Shmona Esrei is eating food. Shmona Esrei is Bin Adam LaMokayim. And then you come home, you eat the food. Ah, food. Did I make a bracha on the food? Did I just consume it like a glutton? Did I bench on the food? There's the way you conduct yourself with Gashmias. We've already given three different examples of the difference of different types of teshuvah when you're dealing with a Shvarim and a Teruah. Some will tell you that the Shvarim is, you know, when you blow shofar, who's talking to who? Is Hashem speaking to you, or are you speaking to Hashem? When you blow the shofar, who's talking to who? Are you communicating with Hashem, or is Hashem communicating with you? Well, it's both. In the shvarim, now when the shvarim, we call to Hashem. The teruah, Hashem is sending us a message, and no, and that reflects our relationship with Hashem. We have failed to communicate with you, and we have also failed to pay attention, to listen to what the signals that Hashem is sending us. Okay, so there's no limit. You can go through everything, four different examples, four different mahalchim to explain the difference between the Shvarim and the Teruah, and you can analyze this. I find to be fascinating, and I challenge you to go online and Mayor is going to do this later, to challenge me if I'm wrong. I remember I did this a couple of years ago, that the Shvarim and the Teruah correspond to the Soir and the Par. On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, he brings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Pareches, the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoir. Dafyom, who doesn't know this? You bring, okay, the whole Avodah is there are two Korbanos. The par, you go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you sprinkle eight times. You have the Dam HaSoir, you sprinkle eight times in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the Pareches, on the Mizbeach Hazav, the leftovers go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, 44 total, a total of 44 applications of these two bloods. Go online and you type in the sound of a cow and listen to the sound. Then go in and listen, type in the sound of a goat. And listen, it is amazing. The sound of a cow sounds just like a shvarim. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And the sound of a goat sounds just like a tua. It sounds just like a goat. So Rosh Hashanah is the hachana for Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, we bring ourselves. The Shvarim and the Teruah is equivalent. Yom HaKippurim, there's no blowing shofar. Instead, we bring Hashem a par and a soir. Animals. On Rosh Hashanah, it's the Akedah. Rosh Hashanah, we bring ourselves. And ourselves is the sound of the Shvarim is a par, and the sound of a Terua is the sound of a So'ir. Google it. Google the sound of these two animals. You'll see there's a striking resemblance. So Rosh Hashanah is the Hachana, the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, 10 days. And the par and the sohir, the sound of the shofar of the Terua is a hachana to the sound of the offering of the par and the sohir in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So when you, this I want to suggest is all nichlal in the word bechi va'anoka. Bechi is the shvarim, anoka is the Terua, and this produces a product. What's the product? The product is dima, is tears. Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he counts. He literally counts the tears, and he puts them away in the base ginozov, in his chambers, his inner chambers, the product of our bechi va'anaka. It's not for them. We have 100 koilos. It's a counting. It's a counting. Why we make this 100 koilos? $99 a beer on the wall, $99 a beer. what's the counting all about? 100 koilos? It's because the koila, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soifer, the demois of Klal Yisrael. And the demois come through an expression of b'chi va'anoka. Here we are discussing the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is being filled with tears because this man has betrayed his wife. Okay, so this is what it's the Mitzvah. The study makes it very clear. The bechi, the dima is the vadimik bab mebechi vanachal lefi. I'm over here on the Mitzvah. It's Dov, page 883. Wait a minute. Can you hear me? How come I not have heard from anyone here online? Could someone speak? Of Laser, can you talk?
Yeah, I hear
okay,
you.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't hear anyone. I want we could hear you.
I hear you.
Don't wake him up.
What did you say, Mayor?
You're not the loudest.
No, but you are Mayor.
That's because I have a lot. Let me ask you, the louder voice you have, it might be.
Sorry, now.
Are you sure your volume's all the way up?
Yeah,
I'll tell you one thing. There, I have this problem with you on my phone as well. If there is another app that uses sound that is operational, you're not going to hear anything. You're not going to hear anything.
No, I don't have any other app running.
Nothing.
How many guys are there in the classroom?
30.
30?
30, yeah.
30, yeah. I don't know. Blazer, can you hear me well?
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Is it loud? Is it loud enough?
Yes.
Okay, so Mayor, I think.
I raised the.
Oh, you raised the volume. Okay, so I don't.
I hear you.
You hear, Rabbi Cohen, you hear us?
He said, I hear you. Loud enough to hear you in Philadelphia.
All right, so I don't know. I really don't know. Audio settings, I'm looking over here. Audio, it seems good.
I'm happy with what you did.
Everything seems good over here, like on my side.
This direction, your voice is good.
Okay, maybe that's why. I have to be careful talking to the computer. All right, okay. Maybe I have to speak close to the computer. But I want to look at the people in the room.
30.
Who asked Kadima? The people in the room or the people on the computer?
The people that made the
episode. People who pay the bills. I guess if Yannick, we have to finish up over here. Let's finish up, okay. Let's finish over here. So this is Mitzvah David over here. Okay, let's just finish over here. He goes over here into the big topic. Goes, sometimes tears flow from joy. From tsar. What do they come from? They come from this, that women stand around the Mizbeach and they cry on their shame. And this is a shocking thing what he says. He says the wind, the Mizbeach, is surrounded by women. Really? They let women in the Beis HaMikdash? I thought the only other way a Saita comes in, a woman who brings a carbon, a woman who needs a Yoledes, she comes, I don't know if she even goes in. Over here, the Mitzvah stuff is something that is utterly shocking. You never heard this before, that women who were betrayed by their husbands, who left them, were abandoned by their husbands, agunois, or women just who were divorced for no good reason. They come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they stand around the Mizbeach, and they cry. And there's a flood in the Beis HaMikdash on their tears. Shocking thing. Women come in, they come in there to express their tzar.
Interesting, the last plot in Gittin, when it says the Mizbeach cries, that's what it says.
Oh, the Mizbeach cries.
The Mizbeach cries by a divorce.
We said it before. I always thought that Afilu Mizbeach Yorid Olam Dimo'ois. It's a chazal.
I'm saying it's an interesting.
But he's saying that it's not from them. It's not the stones that are crying.
It's
the women.
It's interesting.
Now you can't also ignore the irony that now you're learning Daf Yomi in Sukkah the whole last week, whole week. We're talking about when is the only other time the Mizbech is surrounded? With on Sukkos, it's surrounded with Hoshanos. The Mizbeach on Sukkos is surrounded every single day with Hoshanos. The Oiske Klap to Hoshana. It's surrounded by Chavoit. They bang the Hoshana and they put the Hoshana, they surround the Mizbeach with the Hoshanos. And those Hoshanos are beaten. Right? The Oiske Klap to Hoshanos.
Why it's beaten? It's a minhag
neviim. Right. Well, we just uncovered a secret that no one knows about. We just uncovered a big secret. You cannot ignore the fact that the Mitzudas David over here is telling you about the Mizbech over that tears are coming around this. And I think, where are the tears coming from? There are women surrounding the Mizbeach, and they're crying. Broken people. People who have been betrayed, who have been abused, who suffer. These are the Oiske Klap to Hoshanos. You ever hear that expression? The Oiske Klap to Hoshanos, they take Hoshanos, bang, 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 bang. This guy, he walked into, he looks like an Oiske Klap to Hoshanos. The women who are agunois, who have been abused by their husband, have been divorced for no good reason, not received alimony, v'chulu, v'chulu. These are the Oiske Klap to Hoshanos. And they're crying. And it's a shocking, I mean, is that what's going on in the Mizbeach? You have around the Mizbeach, the Hoshanos. It's a Yoifi L'cha Mizbeach. Yoifi, you have to go look. It could be, it's a euphemism. Many times in Chazal, when they say Yoifi, beautiful, you have to know what it means, beautiful. Sometimes when Chazal say beautiful, you know what it really means. It means ugly. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, his wife was a Kushis. Kushis. Ah, what does that mean? So that's a very, it's a racist statement. that's a derogatory statement. Kushim, halo rei kushim atem. So what did Chazal say? Just the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu's wife was the most gorgeous woman who ever lived, and it's just not their cheretz to say about the Gadol Hador. He's married to a beautiful woman, so he's saying. Kushis, yeah, yeah.
Kawaius means beautiful.
Beautiful, you see? Kawaius. But Chazal say Kushis is, Rashi says this, Loshen Saginar.
Shapirta.
Okay, it's Loshen. So when Chazal say, even one sort of pshat, that, at Kedei Kach, you have to be very careful, in the Haggadah, Echad Chacham, V'yechad Rasha, V'yechad Tam, V'yechad She'eino Yodel Lishol. I once heard a drush, it's a vild drush, but the Rambam alludes to this, is that the Chacham is a euphemism for the tippish. Okay, so we say a Chacham, oh, the Chacham. It's not the Chacham from the Manishtana. It's right. Even an expression. Right. See an expression. Oh, the Chacham from the Manishtana is here. Oh, yeah, what do you have to say? We use it now slang as he said, the tippish. The Rambam, there's a whole drush that's taka really what it means. Echad chacham, v'echad rasha, v'echad tam, v'echad she'en yedei lisha. The chacham is the tippish. The chacham doesn't ask kashas. The real chacham, the real smart people, mila b'sela shtikusa b'trein. Okay? The smart people know how to be quiet. So what's he asking? The more you talk, best to be quiet and let people think you're a fool. then open your mouth and remove all doubt. So every time Chazal use a term, you have to know if it's a euphemism or if it's the real deal. So when it says in the Gemara that they took the Mizbeach, they took the Oiske Klap to Hashanis, and they surrounded the Mizbeach, and they said, Yoifi Lucha Mizbeach, Yoifi Lucha Mizbeach. Does that mean the Mizbeach is beautiful? Or does that mean the Mizbeach is not beautiful? These are the Noshim who are Bitsar, who have been abandoned by their husbands, Noshim that have been abused, people who have been abused. And here we're being mispalal, the Mizbeach is being moire de mois. Moire de mois. No, they say that rain, Hoshanah Rabbah, and Sukkot is all about Geshem, rain. De mois is also begeder rain. It's also the precipitation of a human being. So when you're dealing with the rain from Shemayim, it alludes to the tsar, the demois of human beings who cry. The whole sukkah, you shake the loaf, rain, 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 rain. What about the rain of a human being who's bitsar, who needs a Yeshua? The Mizbeach is surrounded by the Hoshanis. It's alluding to the people in Klal Yisrael, like the Noshim, these the Dugma, who have been abused and suffer and cry. So we've uncovered over here in this in Sefer a whole new mahalich in looking. This is the dark side. The dark side of, you know, there's the ayin panim Torah. You know, you'll say this in some circles, they'll tell you, what are you talking about? But I'm not making this up over here. It says these ideas are really alluded to over here. These ideas. Where does it say such a thing anywhere else in Tanakh, Chazal, that the Mizbech is surrounded. Here it's surrounded by Noshim. They're crying over their Agmas Nefesh. The Hoshanis represent Shvach HaMaisis, represent abuse. They've been beaten. You take the Hoshana, you bang it on the ground. The Hoshana says to you, what did I do to you? You ever hear an Hoshana speak to you? The Hoshanas are lips. Chazal say they look like lips. They talk. And what do they say to you? How dare you beat me on the ground? What did I do to you? What did I do to you? What's going on over here? And you take them and put them around the Mizbech and they cry. The Demo'oi Shlish. And there's a dogma for people that are abused and have tsar and need a Yeshua. All right. Let's take a short break.
So is there any explanation that we have of why the